their neighbors, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This is show number 185, ladies and gentlemen, and it's January the 23rd, 2007. Good to have you along today. We're recording right now, right as we speak here at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we are going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, of course, all designed with the blind in mind. Here's our host for the show. Here's a guy that got out of his sick bed today, folks. Out of his sick bed. I mean, he was near death's door. Struggled to my truck, got in, and I brought him up here, and he's going to do the show today. Ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah, the only reason I'm here is because my contract is up for renewal and get to make a good impression.
Yeah. We hope you make it through the show.
I'll do my best.
And a guy we can always depend on, of course. He's Mr. Dependable himself. Ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite stretch it that far, but anyway.
Well, you know, Patterson and I are tied now, 2 out of 3 for the year.
Well, yeah.
My name's Tom Houston, by the way, but here he is, folks. Here's the guy that created this thing. He's the producer of this thing, and his name is Phil Park.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much. Thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Cheryl would say. All right, let's try the gate here for Tim. This is the Tim Cummings test. Everybody be quiet. Listen, it'll just fade away. Listen.
And it did. I heard it.
Let's see, one more time. The Tim Cummings test.
That's it.
I want Tim to hear that. It's called a gate. It actually works pretty well. See, if the air conditioner was on, if the heat was on, it would just sort of take the sound away.
Anyway, yeah.
Little different things. Hi there. How's everybody? Is this the first time? No. Let's see, I guess, did we have everybody together this year?
Let's see, the first show...
I think we did the first show we did. Yeah.
Pat wasn't here. The second show, I wasn't here.
And here
we are, all of us together again.
Pat wasn't. You missed one show, didn't you? You missed last week. Don Pat?
Yes.
You missed last week. You're awake? That cough medicine will get you, won't it?
No, I thought I was listening to Tom, but I was here.
Yeah, Tom, I think, was out last week. I rode home with...
That was me last week.
Yeah, I caught a ride back with... Yeah.
Week, yeah. I was iced in last week.
Yeah, you were rained and iced in. Yeah.
I missed the first week.
You were faking it. It was pretty bad.
Oh, you should have saw my front. You should have saw my front porch.
Was it pretty bad?
I'll tell you what. It was a sheet of ice. Yeah. Now, my granddaughter, Emily, the middle granddaughter, did get out there and kind of scrape some of it off and everything. Yeah. But it was still raining, plus it was icy in spots.
Oh, yeah. We had a nasty week. And, you know, there's a little rain. In fact, it was raining in College Station a while ago. But I think if it rains, it's just going to be a little... teacup full, but we've had our winter, haven't we?
Wet, really wet.
I hope so. Yesterday
was a harbinger of things to come. It was a pretty sunshine. The sun was out, man. It was just, it was just knowing that this big spring. But have you heard that I'm very upset about this? They're changing daylight saving time earlier this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
They're going to do it on March 11th.
Yep.
Which will be the second Sunday in March.
Wow, that's going to be during the time of...
Yes, it is. During the time of the big spring blind weekend.
Is that something...
And we don't,
when did you find that out? I'm just curious.
A week or so ago.
What is their purpose?
That means the calendars are all wrong.
Why?
Because they had to print them before then.
Yeah, they've known. I've heard it way back when.
Yeah,
I knew
this.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What is the purpose? Their purpose or their reasoning for doing it earlier this year?
They did not call the house or anything. They didn't ask. But also, they're going to change back in November.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just extending the time.
So we now have 8 months of daylight saving time and 4 months of regular time.
Yeah.
The time changes everything. But March, that's a little, because that's going to make the days longer, but then the sun won't come up till 7. I don't care.
True. It won't, yeah.
But, you know, it's going to be some nice, long, pretty days in March. So that'll be, that'll be good. Right?
These guys are going to spring out for these plane tickets down here, and then they're going to lose an hour. That's a hell of a deal.
They are. They're going to be down here. All three guys be down here.
Man.
Max and Tim and John Conley. and lose an hour. It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't want to tell them that. They'll cancel out on us.
I'm sure they already know this. I'm sure they already know. But I'm, you know, this is, who decides these kinds of things?
I don't know.
Who's in charge of this? Who would you call? Listen, I have no idea. It's just, I guess Congress makes those sorts of decisions, don't they?
I know, but it's strange to me that the states have something to do with it if they want to, because for the longest, and I think we could check with your friend that lives out in Laughlin, but Arizona doesn't go on daylight savings time.
I think some parts of Arizona.
Yeah, they just, in other words, sometimes they're 3 hours different from everybody else. They just stay, or they either don't, or they don't change. I can't remember what it is, but...
I did an interview yesterday with my friend Jeff Kisker, who's been on Handyman Show two or three times did Blind Like Me, who lives in Fort Pierre, South Dakota.
Right.
Well, the river there, whatever river it is, Fort Pierre is on one side and Pierre is on the other side, which is the capital of South Dakota, and the time change is right there. So he goes from Mountain Time to Central Time every day when he goes to work.
That would be a trip.
That would be horribly confusing.
It would.
It
really would.
Different.
Would be terribly confusing.
Yeah.
You know. Set your watches. We're now entering Pierre, South Dakota.
That would be strange.
It would just be terrible, wouldn't it?
It would. It really
would. There again, I wonder if this is a nationwide. Obviously, it is, but then you'd wonder why states can pick and choose. Because I know Arizona's always been kind of the funky one about.
Well, no bigger than South Dakota is going to make the whole state the same time.
Well, South Dakota's pretty big.
Well, compared to Texas, it ain't nothing.
Population-wise, it's kind of small.
The population is small, but land area
is
compared
large.
To Texas?
Oh, not compared to Texas, guys. But, you know.
If you pulled out of Beaumont when the sun was coming up. Anyway, you probably met that guy. All right, I guess we have enough time talk. We have somebody will email us about who decides that, I'm sure. Let us know. All right.
Okay, I hope we know something about talking tape measures.
All right.
Because here's a guy that says he has one of those talking tape measures that has gone crazy.
Yeah.
He says, when I pull out the tape a few inches, it says 2,083 inches.
Yeah.
He's changed the battery, but it's the same. What's wrong? I purchased it from NFB, and, it's a girl, I guess, Lauren.
Mine's done that, but I've always gotten it to clear sometimes by taking the battery out, and the battery is really hard to change on those. But sometimes by taking the battery out and leaving it out a while. And I've always fooled around, but I've had mine do the same thing. But I've always somehow gotten it to clear. And so I don't know if it's just so I can't advise you. And y'all don't have one.
Don't have one. I don't know. Don't have a clue.
Surely we have an answer to that on the thing, Tommy.
I do have a response here. Right. It says, hi, my talking tape measure does this. What I do is just let it shut itself off, then I turn it back on, and it seems to work, but be sure to clear it first. ROB.
Well, yeah. So is there a special button that you clear it with?
I guess. I don't think so. I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
It's got but, S-H-I-R-R, and I just thought they meant sure, but maybe not.
I don't think.
No, but he says he clears it. He said he allows it to turn itself off,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he turns it back on.
And it's all right.
But he read that again. Read his response again.
Okay. It says, hi, my talking tape measure does this.
What it's a two.
I do is I just let it shut itself, then turn it back on, and it seems to work.
Yeah.
But, and here's the word I'm not sure of, S-H-I-R-R.
Yeah.
But, S-H-I-R-R, you clear it first.
Be sure.
Maybe it is be sure.
Be sure.
That's supposed to be
that's
sure.
What I put in there. It's
supposed to be sure you clear it first.
Clear it first.
I don't know that there's a clear button. I guess I could go get mine and see, but if that worked, she wouldn't be sending
well, or
this
what,
question.
What would happen then if you had your tape measure and you just pulled the tape out a little bit and push it back in? Does that clear it? Like if you just... had it in your hand, you turn it on, and you pull it out about a foot and push it back in. Or is that the way they work? Is that the way you clear it?
You know, there actually may be a clear button. The top big button is just, it says with or without case, and then under that you can add the case if you're going to use the case in the measurement. You know what I'm saying?
I can't imagine anybody calling us with wanting to know our opinion on this. I can't imagine anybody asking us a question a talking room.
I was so happy when I first got mine. And they're really nice to know that you're going to cut a board 6 3/8 inches wide. But how wide the board is much more important than its measurement. As far as I
agree. That's true.
You know, I'll never buy another one.
It doesn't really matter in numbers what the measurement is.
It doesn't. I'm glad I have that one. And one thing is going to help me. We're fixing to buy a new television, and she wants to know how wide her TV is. And on the old days, I would have just taken a wire and stretched it, because a TV has to fit in a certain place.
Right.
But in the old days, I would have taken a wire, stretched it across the front of the TV, cut the wire off, rolled it up and stuck it in my pocket, and measured like that.
A new flat screen plasma TV is in the offing here?
That's right.
Oh, man, I must have one.
That's right. They're coming down.
Yes. Mm.
Well, I figure 3 or 4 years from now, you're going to have to buy one.
Yeah, because everything, our old ones are going to.
Yeah, because everything's going to
be digital, I think.
So I think you'll have to buy one. So we thought we'd
get a jump on it.
Well, I don't know if get a jump. I don't know if we're not going to do it tomorrow, but it's going to be done, and so we're kind of measuring to see prices and how much they were, because they're down to much less than $1,000 now.
Whoa, yeah, you can get some nice ones. I mean, even above $1,000, but I mean big ones, like a 42-inch for $1,500 or $1,600, man, which they were like $4,000. Of course, you can buy the $4,000 variety too, but.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I saw a $10,000 one, a huge, God almighty, it was big, hanging somewhere in Best Buy or someplace. But, you know, she makes good money. She watches little TV. Why shouldn't she have a big, nice TV? I don't care about it, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what we're going to do with the one we bought
That's
5 years
what I
ago.
Told Emily just the other day. I said, you make great money and everything. Why can't I have a big TV?
Well, you just bought a $4,500 accordion. Well, it was $4,800, actually, wasn't it?
$4,700, actually.
Good Lord.
Accordion. $4,700.
Wow. I'd have bought $4,700 ones. Had it been me, but then I don't play accordion.
You would have done what now?
I'd have bought $4,700.
$100 one.
Oh, yeah. The disposable.
Yeah.
Of course, there's no worse than the Martin, you know.
That's right.
Expensive Martins. All right, Tommy. Is that it for measuring tapes?
No. Yes, for measuring tapes, that's it. We're going to talk about rivets just a little bit.
Rivets.
Can anyone give me advice on removing rivets? I don't think they're pop rivets. Carl.
A drill?
I've been told that if you put a punch in the middle of the back side of them where they're concave and hit it, that they'll come apart.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I don't know why I've heard that, but I heard it tell. What other kind of rivets would they be except a pop rivet? And what other kind are there? I mean, unless you have a rivet.
Unless they were welded.
Unless some sort of rivet machine.
You know, if they were a welded rivet. But
pop rivets.
Yeah.
Pop rivets are one of the great inventions of mankind. If you don't have a pop rivet gun and you do handyman stuff, you need one. And they're cheap.
That's right.
And they're, man, you think, like, I was going to put this flange up on, I bought a deal to hang plants on that I wanted to put up on a pole to hang a lantern on. And I, you know, how am I going to do this? I'm drill a hole in the pole and just try to find a bolt that'll fit it. And then I thought, pop rivets. I just put the pop rivet in there, squeeze the trigger, and bingo, there it was, you know.
Yep.
They're just handy as they can be. If you don't own a pop rivet gun, you're a handyman, go buy one. Trust me.
Mr. Houston, do you have a response for that?
I have a little response here. It says, my normal choice is drilling. Uh-huh. If they happen to be pop rivets, make sure to punch out the old center nail. If there's room, the head or pin side can be ground off with a grinder. If there's a washer under the pin, I could choose... I would choose that side since the rivet will tend to protect the finish of the remaining product. You can use small grinding wheels that chuck into a drill or a small angle grinder. You didn't mention if these were copper or steel rivets, but doesn't matter, other than copper would tend to load up the grinding wheel.
That came from Dale Evans.
That came from Ron, somebody.
Who's Ron?
Ron Yearns, I think.
We know Ron Yearns. Yeah. He's been on the show, hasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, all those are good ideas, but first thing, I'd put a punch in it and hit it with a hammer real hard, see if it'll give. Wouldn't you?
Well, seems like the logical thing to do.
Somehow I was told that that's how, I've never removed any, but I was told that's how you remove them. So I don't know. That's a... What the hell am I doing on this show?
I would like to know what he's unriveting.
I would, too.
Yeah. Well,
I
mean, is it worth it?
I'd say go buy another one. Yeah. Whatever it is, go buy another one.
Ron Yearns. We need to have him back on. He was a good guest.
Yeah, we do. It's time again.
Ron,
it sure is.
I've forgotten about him. I've forgotten what he does.
Electrical?
He was an electrical guy when it lost his eyesight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him. Anyway, I'm like Pat, I'd like to know what he's trying to salvage. What old piece of crap that he doesn't need.
he has to try to take apart, too. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either.
It's got to be something. Something that he's trying to salvage.
I'd agree with that.
And it's probably a piece of crap.
You never know.
I got it right.
You know, speaking of rivets, they just did here another, you know, never-ending a test on some of the parts of the Titanic, and they have put it down to faulty rivets as far as causing the major disaster. I mean, the iceberg was enough, but these rivets were made out of, instead of being like stainless steel or something that they were supposed to be that we had back then, or they were just iron. And so when they hit, they broke. I mean, and they did a whole, some university conducted this, and they think that's what led to the 800 or so foot long hole in the side, because the rivets kept popping.
Wow. And they're,
had they been the right kind, they could have withstood the.
Yeah.
Well, there's nobody alive to sue now, is there?
No.
Well, you know, it's like they decided now that the Twin Towers were inferiorly constructed, were inferior buildings, and had they been constructed right, those planes wouldn't have done the damage they did. Man, you get, 1,000 gallons of jet fuel. Yeah. Ain't no building's going to withstand that.
They would have known that.
Even a house Robert Todd built couldn't. Couldn't handle that.
Yeah.
Are you out of stuff, Jerry?
That's it. But time's almost up.
It's time to move along.
Oh, it's time to move along here.
Yeah.
So I need. What you mean is I need to bring up the music.
We've floundered around here long enough. I think it's time.
Let's do the Tim Cummings test again. Ready? Here we go. Isn't that amazing how that works?
It is.
That's... All right, here we go. Here's a little musical interlude, and we'll be back with our guest is...
Larry Martin.
Larry Martin from Chicago. I believe he's from Chicago, and he does some sort of... We'll let him
tell
you
about it. The audio magazine guy. Woodworking magazine guy.
We'll let him tell us about it. Be right back. More of the Blind Andy Man Show. Don Shaw, Don Patterson, Tom Houston. I'm Phil Parr. Hang on. the Blind Handyman Show. Here's Don Patterson.
It is?
Oh, I thought you'd like for us to do that.
Oh, well, yeah, that's great. I wish you'd get the girl back, though.
The girl? Yeah. I think she died. To overpopulation. She was scared we were overpolluting the planet.
So who do we have here? Larry?
Larry?
Hello there.
How are you,
Larry,
sir?
Martin. Glad to meet you. How's everything?
Life's going pretty well for me, thank you.
Oh, that's great. You sound like you have a real professionally.
Is he in radio?
Yeah, a big voice there.
Are you a radio guy, Larry?
No, I think they've just got a big mouth.
Big mouth. I think I was married to your sister. Long time ago. I'm Phil Parr. We have Don Patterson, Tom Houston, and Don Shaw here.
And we're glad to meet you all.
And we're glad to meet you, sir. Good to have you on the show. And you're in Chicago, I believe.
Yes, just about 40 miles northwest of Chicago, a little place called Deer Park.
Deer Park.
Deer Park.
Which is actually almost a suburb now, isn't it, really?
Getting very close, yes it is. It's solid from here all the way into the city.
Is that right?
That's just soon to be home of the world champion Chicago Bears, by the way.
It certainly looks that way, doesn't it?
It does look that way. It could actually happen. You wouldn't have believed it a few weeks ago, but now it looks that way, doesn't it?
There's a lot of excitement around.
You are sighted, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, and that you drive the car and you have no vision problems at all.
None at all right now.
All right, how did you, we'll talk about what you do in just a minute, but how did you get interested in blind people? What brought you to help blind people?
Well, about a year and a half ago, I read an article in Woodcraft magazine on their website. They were promoting their new magazine, and the article was entitled Vision for a Challenge. And it was the story of a man named Gordon Mitchell, who is a blind woodworker. And in that article, he said his biggest trouble was trying to learn new things.
Uh-huh.
That whenever he would use scan articles and put them on his computer, always would run up into trouble because of the illustrations and the photos.
Right. Uh-huh.
And always the text is geared to those illustrations and photos. So half the time he couldn't make out the text because he could not refer over to the photo.
Uh-huh.
And he said, if I could only learn these things.
Right.
I read that article and I got in touch with him and said I'd be his eyes. And we would start talking about it.
Ah.
Because you are a woodworker also.
I'm a woodworker. I've been now since retirement for about 8 or 9 years I've been doing woodworking.
But up until then, you had no idea that blind people may be having this problem.
I had no idea. Yeah. It came as a shock to me that blind people could do woodwork.
I was going to say, that would have been this. You probably, as a sighted person and not giving it much thought, you know, if you mentioned blind man and skill saw or band saw in the same sentence, you'd think something was wrong.
Yeah.
Incidentally, right after that, as I started to help him, I went on to the Fine Woodworking website, and they have a Knots forum there, and raised the question, does anybody have any information dealing with blind woodworkers?
Mm-hmm.
And the first answer came back was, go to blindwoodworker.com.
Okay.
Which shocked me that there was a site like that.
I didn't know there was either.
Didn't either.
I wasn't aware of that.
A man in Winston-Salem, John Shearer, runs that site.
Right. Can you write that
name? But that fine woodworking also led to a debate on the Knots forum, uh-huh, whether blind people have any right to do woodworking or not.
Well, I don't understand that.
And there were a couple of people who felt very strongly that it was simply too dangerous. Blind people don't drive, and just as in the same vein, should not be doing woodworking.
Well,
and then there was a much larger audience that agreed that blind people could do it.
I've been blind all my life. I'm 66 years old, and I've been doing some forms of woodwork for a long time, different kinds of woodwork. And we've done, this show you're on now, sir, is called The Blind Handyman. We've done about 185 of these shows and met all kinds of people, blind people, who do not only woodwork, but many, many other mechanical things, welding and repair of transmissions and just all sorts of things. So woodwork is a pretty common thing for blind people because we can feel what we're doing, you know?
I wasn't into my project very long before I knew three blind woodworkers who had built their own houses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, in my own life, other than workmen who had built their own houses, I knew nobody who had built their own house.
Uh-huh.
And here are three blind people who did it.
Who had built.
And so it didn't take me long to learn just that there simply are no limits.
There are no limits. There are limits, but the only limits, most times the limits are limits you put on yourself as a blind person.
That's
things
right.
You think you can't do. But, of course, we can't drive, but then they're slowly, we're getting past that. That's a subject for another show. Okay.
But you do ski.
Yes.
You do shoot bow and arrow.
Yes.
And there are all sorts of things.
Yes, we do have.
We're everywhere. We're everywhere.
We're like Chicken Man. We're everywhere. We're everywhere. Yeah. We blind people do all kind of things. You'd be amazed at the scope of and I meet every. We've like I said, we've done 185 of these shows, and we also do a show called Blind Like Me, where I met all kinds of blind people. Blind not surgeons, but blind doctors. Blind, you know, just blind everything. There's a blind yachting association.
Sure
Houston. So anyway, you started reading the magazines for this blind person on tape?
I began actually doing it by telephone and email.
Okay.
And he wanted to build a Whirligig, but couldn't for the life of him figure out the mechanics of it.
Okay.
And so we got to talking with that, and that was our first problem, because I gave him a wonderful explanation of how it worked, and he couldn't get it. And we went through it again and again,
uh-huh.
And I forgot what the point was, but finally, oh, that's what you mean.
Okay.
And that was the biggest lesson I think I've learned all year, is that in the description is everything. The old saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words, is really true. We learn a tremendous amount simply by glancing at an object, a photo, an illustration, or a plan.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So what's become very important to me is how to describe something in a way that I can convey the same conceptual and descriptive information to someone who's blind,
mm-hmm.
but hopefully I can do it in a lot less than 1,000 words.
Yeah.
When describing a photo of a piece of furniture or a woodworking jig, I try to give them my concept and then an overall idea of the item, and only then to move on to a more specific description of the shape, the parts, the arrangement, and the dimensions.
Uh-huh.
But that's the key. Most people learn a tremendous amount by a mere glance at something. And, of course, blind people can't do it, so we've got to find a way to describe things to give them the same facility.
That's right.
And that's one of the biggest things, the hardest thing I think I find in my recording.
You receive about 70% of your sensory information through your eyes. You do. I don't. You do, but that's why I have a good memory, because there's a lot of room up there, you know. a lot of room up there to remember things. Now, tell us exactly how did you expand from this first reading of the on the telephone to this blind fellow?
Well, he had a couple of things he was interested in, so I found some articles for him, and I would scan the articles on my computer,
mm-hmm.
and I would block out the photos. Scanning is a difficult thing to do because, say an article of even 1,000 words only, I'll bet there would have to be 40 or 50 errors in the scan. It would misspell words, et cetera.
Right.
So I would wind up retyping a great deal of it.
Yep.
And while it worked, it was an awful lot of work.
Uh-huh.
And I went in to get some computer help one day, and the young lady behind the Genius Bar at the Mac store said, "Why don't you podcast?" And that got me started to the recording. And so I record to a Mac computer on a GarageBand program.
Mm-hmm.
Then I share that with iTunes. And in iTunes, I convert it to an MP3 format.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the iTunes, I burn CDs. And then I mail them out to the members.
Okay, so you're scanning in magazine articles or you're retyping them?
I scanned them first, but I wound up doing a lot of retyping just to correct the scanning errors.
Uh-huh.
So now you're...
I gave that up. It simply wasn't worth the effort.
Now you're just reading the articles.
Now I read the articles and record them.
That's great.
You read them in your voice and record them.
Yes. Yes, and I subscribe to 5 different woodworking magazines, and I'm about to increase that to a 6 with Woodcraft as well.
Okay.
And, do you have someone else that reads with you, or are you doing this all on your own? I mean, do you have...
I do it all on my own.
Wow. Big undertaking there.
And, yeah, and you...
Right now, I've already sent out 14 CDs in the past year, 11, one a month for magazines, and each of those will have anywhere 2 or 3 magazines on the CD.
Okay.
I can get up to 10 hours on a CD.
At MP3 compressed.
MP3 compressed.
And that's it. That's it. At a decent, I guess, a decent bit rate.
I don't know much about that, but the answer is yes. It's a very good one.
Okay. So
there is no problem at all with the quality that people are getting. So we now have more than 110 hours on the library. The next disc will go out next week. The first of each month, I try to get it out. And it will have the most recent issue of Fine Woodworking on it, as well as American Woodworker, will be the 2 issues on this disc.
Now, are you selling these or giving
them? No. I send them free.
They're free of charge to people who are interested. But I think you said that you don't yet have a website where we can go and download the past CDs. That hadn't happened yet.
That's right. There are some legal problems, and the first is I don't know how to get the website up.
Okay.
I used one to begin with using a Mac template, but the screen readers had all sorts of troubles with it. So I let that expire, and I'm working now on HTML language to put up a very simple website that has a very accessible material.
My friend,
graphics at all, strictly text.
Yeah,
we know a blind person that I will get you in touch with that will help you immensely, who knows not all there is to know, but he thinks he knows all there is to know about building websites.
Well, that would be a fabulous move.
He's a wonderful person, and he knows a lot about building websites, and I'll get you in touch with him.
That would be terrific.
He lives in Massachusetts, but don't hold that against him, okay?
I will not.
I can't imagine we know anyone that's that good.
Well, we do. We know someone named Tim Cummings that's that good.
Now, the legal problem involved is that obviously I'm recording copyrighted material.
Uh-huh.
There is a provision in the copyright law, Section 121.
Yes, sir.
That allows, that says there is no infringement if the recording is done in specialized format,
yes,
exclusively for the use of blind people.
That's true.
And that's the provision that I work under.
Uh-huh.
So I interpret that to mean that I have to have a group, a not-for-profit group, which I do, Woodworking for the Blind Incorporated.
Okay.
So we have members, and the members have demonstrated their blindness, and typically that's by their National Library Service registration number or the Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic registration number.
They could come out and run into your house. You know, I guess not, huh? Anyway, they demonstrate that they're blind, and
they become members. Membership is free, and I then send them out some discs, and they go on the mailing list to get a new disc every month. So right now, the membership, as of last night, increased to 38.
All right.
All right. Well, if you get sued
next week, I will burn 38 new CDs and get them in the mail.
Wow.
If you get sued, I'm married to a lawyer.
Well, let me tell you one thing. You mentioned the RFB&D, Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic. I can't imagine them not being interested in your work. I certainly hope you'll save the archives, because they would probably stash it in their library for...
You would think so.
For future reference, and you might could work a deal to have these actually link on their website.
Well,
I'm certain that you could talk to somebody in New Jersey, and
are the American Federation or the
What about Fred's Head Companion that the printing house has?
They all know about us and have carried announcements on their website.
Okay,
and the. early part of February is our first anniversary.
Uh-huh.
And once that's gone by, I plan to get in touch with these people again to see if there's some way to make it more available. A website would be the easiest way to do it, because someone going to Google blind woodwork would obviously come up with it very quickly.
Yes.
So that's the key, is to get that on. The big trouble, I think, has been that there simply really is no market for this. I mean, I don't know how many blind woodworkers there are. My own bet would be that...
I think you're pushing the limit. 38?
Maybe. It can only be a few hundred, yeah. I would think.
I don't think it would ever be profitable, I mean, to try to churn out something like publication.
Well, I don't think that's what he's interested in.
No, I know. He was saying... I agree with him. It's...
If you continue doing this and offering it for free, I would guess that within 5 years you will have 1,000 woodworkers. There are lots of us.
Yeah, you'd think so.
I mean, how many have we met?
A bunch.
How many have we met over a period of years that have joined our list and gotten off our list and been guests here? And,
yep.
And you know, we're just scratching the surface. There are lots of blind woodworkers, lots and lots of them. Not as many as there are radio people.
But are the legal problems that you're thinking about, the fact that you leave it in an MP3 and someone, I mean, has this been raised that someone other than a blind person could access it?
That's the general concern, but it has been no problem.
Yes.
Doing it on the disc is an easy way.
Yeah.
Another way, which is possible, and your website guy might be able to do this, is to put them up on the website. Make it a membership-only website, and let the blind people download it that way.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, where do we do stuff on the blind handyman? You know, I mean, it could work that way. Or either there again, RFB&D could do it for you in what they call e-text. See, they have a format where that's specifically for that they do a lot of textbooks and or mechanical books. And they call it e-text, where you read it on your computer and stuff. So you might look into that.
I talked to them in Chicago, and when I was getting started, their system is a much more professional type system than I'm using. And they did not feel there was any interest in it at all.
That's amazing. That wouldn't surprise me.
It wasn't their idea, so of course they wouldn't think it wouldn't have any interest in it. What was that?
What was that?
What have you done? No. Anyway, I'd say just keep doing what you're doing as long as nobody bothers you. If you don't distribute, if they want you, they'll come get you, but all they want is money and you don't have any. So who cares, right?
Yeah, no, I'm very scrupulous. I mean, I believe very much in the copyright laws.
Oh, yeah.
I want to honor them completely.
But the
method we have works, and it makes it available. I found that most of my members would prefer to get the CD rather than wanting to download it.
I would, because then you'd have to take it. You want to take it, be able to take it to your location, your wood shop, so the CD would be the easiest. Now, this is free, and I guess you are interested in getting other new people on this list, correct?
I'm certainly open to it.
All right.
In the first 6-8 months, we only had a handful. More recently, after announcements on Blind Handyman for One, I mean, I'll bet out of the last dozen members, 3, 4, or 5 of them came from your list.
Yeah, probably so.
And then Fred's Head has turned out a number, and the American Federation of the Blind has turned out a number of them.
Yeah.
So I'm open to any number of people who want to get it.
Well, I think you'll probably see a little surge here. I don't know how many, but you want to give us an address? So how to get some contact information?
Yes, the contact information would be the website. Email address, woodworkingfortheblind@comcast.net.
That's all one word, woodworking.
All one word.
woodworkingfortheblind@comcast.net. That's simple enough.
Yes, and I look at that a couple of times a day. Someone will ask for information. I will send them an information kit that contains a 3-paragraph announcement, and then a list of membership requirements and a membership application. They can send that back either by email or through the Postal Service.
Mm-hmm.
And once I get it, I start recording for them.
Okay, so you're duplicating these discs on your home computer.
Yes, I am. One of these days I'm going to have to turn to a professional service, but right now I can still handle it.
Well, one of these days you may have to buy a disc duplicator. I looked into that not long ago, and that's easy enough done. They make lots of them now. They make them that'll do the disc and put a label on it for you.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Well, that is very neat.
Yeah, they'll if you do the label right, they'll make the disc and slap a label on there and be done with it and make them quick also. Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate you doing this. This is I haven't heard your CD, but I'm going to sign up tonight.
I'll look forward to getting your application.
I have one question. Aside from woodworking, so what do you do in the real world? What was your profession?
What did you do before you retired?
Yeah. What?
Many, many years ago, I was a lawyer, and from that got into investment real estate.
Okay.
And I mostly was a liquidator for insurance companies who wanted to get rid of real estate portfolios.
Okay.
So I did that for Bankers Life and the MacArthur Foundation, and then I liquidated a town in Florida for ITT. They're building a new town there. So I retired from that, must be 9 years ago now, and began woodworking.
Well, good
and that
for
has
you.
Grown to be my true love.
So you're a few years old. I'm 66, and so you're two older than me?
I'm 68.
68. Well, and you liquidated an entire town.
Wow, what a deal.
Some guy owned the town, and you sold it.
Well, a company developed a new town, so obviously there were a lot of residents. When I went there, there were probably in the range of 23,000 people in the town.
Uh-huh.
But the company still owned many of the residential lots and all the commercial and industrial land.
Yeah.
And so it was liquidating large chunks and then finally selling out the remaining lots to a company that continues to do it now.
Was this an incorporated city or not?
It was, yes. A place called Palm Coast, Florida.
Palm Coast, Florida.
It'd be in the northeast coast between Daytona and St. Augustine.
So it's up in the little panhandle there?
No, on the east coast, the northeast.
On the east coast.
Right, close to Georgia.
Okay, all right. And that's what you did. That's how you made your money. That's how you made your living.
I did, yes.
And you had no blind people in your family. You have no blind kinfolks. You didn't know anything about blind people at all.
Not at all. Gordon Mitchell is the guy who really got me into it.
Is that right? Well, our hats go off to Gordon. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
No kidding.
Because this is a wonderful service, and you're going to find there are a lot more blind woodworkers or blind tinkerers than you know. We've toyed with the idea of doing something like that. We do handyman stuff, but we do not only woodwork. We talk about plumbing and electrical and lots of
mechanic
things,
and all kinds of things.
You know, we've had people on who do all sorts of things. So woodworking is just one of the things we do. However, we all three do a little woodwork. We all have a table saw or chop saw or you know something. And
making furniture is what I want to do in life now. I've got a large family. We've got 9 kids.
Yeah.
So there's lots of furniture to be made. I do what I would call an occasional table for each of them as they turn 40. And I'm about to start on an heirloom project where I'm going to build a writing desk for each one of them. Mm-hmm. So the old book, A Room of One's Own, we have 8 daughters in those 9 children.
Good heavens.
So I can't give them a room of their own, but I can give them their own writing desk. So I begin designing those.
It looks to me like, Martin, that you would have saved one of these cities in Florida that you were liquidating and not lived in Chicago. I'm trying to figure you out.
To Florida.
Why you chose
it's tough to figure me out. Remember, I retired from Florida to Chicago.
Yes, that's
the deal.
I wanted to get some good weather.
I was trying to go, let's see, Schwarzenegger is the Terminator and Martin's the liquidator. That's scary.
You moved to Chicago. What was your attraction to Chicago? Had you grown up there one?
Well, I my working life was always in Chicago, so 2/3 of our kids are here.
Oh, that says it all, right?
Yeah,
there.
Okay.
It's not just Oprah.
But Chicago is one fabulous place.
Well, I've always thought it would be, but then there's something about Chicago that is different than any other place. I've been to New York and Los Angeles both, and I liked the feel of Chicago. I went in this rib joint up there, and they told me to find my own damn table. They were tired.
That's pretty good.
You know, and I listened to WMAQ and had a good time. All right, sir.
It really is a wonderful place.
I would
hope you come back.
I intend to come see you. Is what I'm actually going to do is come and visit with you. You're doing a wonderful thing. And as you're speaking for the blind community, I don't, but I will. Thank you very much, sir. We appreciate your help.
You are very welcome. It's given me a lot of fun to do, and I've enjoyed meeting so many people. Right now, there are a tremendous number of email messages on how to do things. I'm beginning to circulate those messages among the members, and they're beginning to communicate among themselves. So it's turned out to be a very good thing.
Well, tell them about us. We're on ACB Radio and on Radio Reading Services. I think we're on in Chicago if they're on their Radio Reading Service. I don't know that, but I think we are. Anyway, Martin.
I will put the word out about you on my next email message.
We appreciate that, and we're going to get Tim Cummings in touch with you, and maybe he can help you set up a website, sir.
Thank you so much. That would be just wonderful.
Thank you much, sir, Martin. We'll talk with you.
Goodbye now.
All right. What a guy. What a deal.
Yeah, man.
What a thought, you know?
Yeah, what an undertaking to do.
Yeah, we thought amazing. We were the only ones who were interested in this handyman, blind handyman stuff. What a guy. All right, let's take a little break and be back and talk about something in a minute. I have no idea what, but you'll love it, I'm sure. Girl that used to introduce us, you'd say, here's Tom Patterson.
We have got to get the
promos
ready one day.
Oh, we used the promos for 4 years. Come on, guys.
Are we on the air or not?
Yes, we're on the air.
How come our mic's not working?
Well, your mic's working fine.
Mike's hello, working. Test. And,
your mic's working fine. Sir.
Got my car fixed. Got my check. It's my birthday. Okay. No, I was talking about. All right, where
I'm
putting
out of your
the Geico commercial.
The Geico commercials.
All right,
you're already white.
First of all, I got up off my deathbed this morning. I've had the flu for 2 months. I think we've all known that. And now I'm on the road to recovery. Anyway, we had here not too long ago 3 beautiful sunshiny days.
We did.
We can't remember when, but we know we had them.
We did have.
And during that time, I accomplished a lot. I got the big, another 20x40 concrete slab poured. And I got 2 little rooms on the pavilion sheetrock, so I'm fixing to put the finishing touches. But, boy, people talk about the price of copper. Man, you know, now I know why they're stealing copper, like in Houston is our major metropolitan area closest to us, and they steal air conditioners and strip the coils out for,
to sell the copper.
Now they've got all kind of restrictions on these scrap metal guys. They have to register anyone that sells X number of dollars worth of copper because people were stealing it. But anyway, I needed to...
Do you know that it costs more than a penny to make a penny?
Yes. I mean, pennies are worth more than a penny by the pound right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
More.
And so, well, think about it. I mean, yeah, a pound of copper, I don't know what the futures market is on copper right now, but it went through the roof. But anyway, I need 140 feet of wire, and the type of wire I'm looking at is 6'3" with a ground. That would give you two hots, a neutral, and a ground wire.
Which is the way they do it now.
Which is, well, yeah, this is to get just the hot over to my box, and then you go, you can go your 110. That would give you 220. You would have a 220 capability.
But a 220 plug is wired up like that now. It's wired with two hots, a ground, and then a neutral.
Yeah, you have to have the two hots to get 220.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I'm going to go, well, if you use the bury it with no conduit, and there's a word, I can't ever phrase it right, but it's bury all or bury, you bury it, or, I mean, it's where you don't put the wire in any conduit, $3.40 plus cents a foot.
Yeah.
And so at our two major retailers, I've priced one of them, and Lowe's and Home Depot are the two people in concern. I won't tell you which one I priced, but the best price I could get was two on conduit, and then I put it in, I'm going to put it in plastic and conduit myself, just Romex. Well, then Philip and I have he's my acquaintance kind of friend. He's Phil's real good friend. Is a salesman for an electrical concern here in Lufkin.
By the way, it's Elliott Electric.
In case you're shopping.
Yeah, for
I don't think they do online. Shipping would be prohibitive. Shipping would be prohibitive.
Right.
Guy in Chicago's not going to buy any wire from... Boy, they never quit. These old radio guys always want to try to sell a spot, you know.
Right.
Next week, Elliott Electricity.
Boy, thank God we're about out of time.
Anyway, and so... anyway, so I've got the wire for $1.45 a foot, and so that saved me considerably. So I'm digging a little trench tomorrow, put it in conduit and bury it and get hot out to the...
You are going to put it in conduit.
Well, I'm going to put it in plastic pipe, in PVC.
You're going to put it in plastic pipe. You're going to run some, you'll be sorry if you don't.
Yeah, I'm going to run a phone line over there and
you're
cable
run
TV. I don't know. I don't think so. Well, we've got Wi-Fi.
That's true. That's
you know,
true.
Okay.
I sure would run at least one a Cat 5. If you're going to run phone, Cat 5 is cheap.
Yeah, well, I may do it.
And so why not? You know, and, plastic pipe sheet. The only thing, like you discussed the other day, the guy won't know that there's electricity in this stuff that looks like water pipe.
Actually, I think they may make, you know, they make several different colors of PVC pipe for different purposes. And I think and so if I can get something other than what would be a white water line, I may use it. And then I do not know. You know, I'm going to do Coburn because they're closest to us in the Holland 20-foot joints. They may sell conduit. You know, it's PVC. It's made out of PVC. It's just painted gray.
I know.
So I don't know. I do not know that they do not.
But didn't they say, wasn't there some discussion about, unless it's painted gray, that the guy will think it's water pipe?
Well, yeah, Leonard said that. I mean, his question was, if I just bury it in white pipe, he said, well, you know, some guy may come along there and go, you know, when they're if they're excavating, there's certain things that are important and certain not. And he said, oh, if a guy saw that, and he said, oh, it's just a water line, go ahead and cut it, and we'll deal with it later. Yeah, we'll repair it. Well, if he cuts into a hot electric wire, he could get killed.
Well, no, you know he won't get killed. Surely you'll have breakers on both ends.
No, he would be on his tractor with metal blade touching his own trench or
not. No, we did an experiment on that, and he won't.
Well, talk to your bud. Talk to your bud, Leonard. Well, I mean, I thought, well, now, if you had a blind guy operating a trencher, would a color make a difference to him?
Yeah, it would make a difference.
I see.
But he's out there, poor schmuck. He's out, you know, he's making his living. He's got a wife and two or three kids.
And then somebody would say, I'll cut it anyway, Jose.
Cut it anyway, and he's out in the sky. But then think of the settlement his wife will get.
That's right.
You have to think about these things. Yeah, man, the guy in Chicago is doing a hell of a thing, you know?
Isn't that a deal? And
really?
His response, he says that he got from a certain RFB and D, reminds me of what you said about a certain satellite radio.
We like you, but not now.
Same kind of deal. How could these people not
I
be
wanted to warn him, don't get involved with any of the major blindness organizations.
He doesn't need them. This guy doesn't need him. He's on his own hook. They'll be coming to him.
I think they will be.
I think so.
I'll talk to him and give him my advice. It's free. It ain't worth a damn, but it's free.
Yeah. Well, you need to get him on your show. Why not? Why aren't you blind like me?
You know,
That's our new show. Why aren't you blind like me? Yeah. That's good. It's actually good. Guy's had 18 beers and he thought of that. But anyway, we're going to go. And thanks, y'all, boy.
Yeah.
Coming to being with us, Thomas Houston Vick.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Always glad to have you. Glad you came out in the almost rainy weather. And Don Pat, of course, out of his sick bed.
Yep.
Came out. And we're proud most of him. Cough a little for us.
He's my hero.
He certainly is. And Geico will save you money. I'm Phil Parr. And what? I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. See you next week. Bye-bye.